I add my welcome to that of our Minister Trevor. It's very exciting that the God who Christians worship has a lot to say about meaninglessness, narcissism, loneliness. He is a God who is bigger than this world pandemic. He is a God who is awesome. Today we have come together as the Church of God to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, to encourage one another and to hold fast to the hope he has given us, and to spur one another on to love and good deeds. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. So I'd like to invite you to stand as together we affirm with Christians across the ages what we believe about God and his love for us. If this is something that you believe, please join with me as we say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat, and you might like to open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3.
Gracious God, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, we hear your voice. Deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way, for the sake of your Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Jonah chapter 3, verses 10 to chapter 4, verses 11. When God saw what the Ninevites did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry. I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?
Our second reading today is from Luke, chapter 15, verses 25 through to 32. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone, again, and welcome to church. It's good to see you. This morning, we bring to a close four short sermons on the Old Testament book of Jonah and the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. The two couple quite well, I think, with similar but different stories, having the same message. They both highlight what a good God is, and that's been the title for our sermon series these past 4 weeks. Last week, you may remember that God had commanded Jonah to go to the people of Nineveh and to proclaim to them that judgment was coming. This time, Jonah had obeyed, and the people turned to God in repentance and faith. God had mercy on the people of Nineveh, and he relented from sending judgment upon them. And then you may remember in our second reading last week from Luke 15, the youngest son, having come to his senses, returned home to his father, and likewise in repentance and faith. And the father welcomes his son with open arms and invites all to celebrate with him, for this son of his was lost, but now is found. Both readings end with us contemplating on what will be the reaction of Jonah and the older son. The spotlight is on them. How will they respond to the mercy and compassion of God to the other? But the light is not just on them. We, the reader, come under the same examination. We are meant to ask ourselves, what is our response? What is our action, our response to the mercy and compassion of our God? His mercy and compassion towards ourselves and towards others, especially those whom we may think don't deserve it. Rosemary and I, in the last few years, have become grandparents. In our engaging with and observing of our grandchildren, and it's reminded us of the influence parents have on their children, especially in shaping how they respond and relate to their siblings. For example, when it comes to sharing, this is not our grandchildren, by the way, just a generic photo got off the internet about two children struggling with sharing. Sharing is agreeing to the equal ownership and possession and enjoyment of something with another. Sharing is not often an enjoyable experience for a two-year-old with their younger siblings. They like the exclusive rights to whatever toy they want to play with at the time, even the toys that were a gift to both of them. Like squatting, I think, possession of a toy for a two-year-old is 9/10 of the law, all right? It's a difficult concept for a child to learn and for a parent to teach. We know it goes against the child's selfish, fearful, and sinful grain. To teach it and to learn it and to further celebrate in sharing is something to behold, especially in a two-year-old. But you don't have to be a two-year-old to struggle with sharing. No matter what age we are, we struggle to share, especially if we feel by sharing we experience loss or fear or it's undeserved and not fair to give to the other. And if we feel this way, we may justify our greed, and that's really what it is, and plead our right to not agree to share. And I take it this is the problem we find both Jonah and the oldest son have. Both Jonah and the oldest son didn't want to share the gift of reconciliation with another. Jonah with the people of Nineveh, and the older brother with his younger brother. They didn't want to share the gift of receiving and owning God's favour and forgiveness with another. This was their response to the mercy and compassion of God towards themselves and towards another they believed didn't deserve it. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 4 of Jonah. This seemed very, very wrong to Jonah, and he became angry. Likewise, the older brother, the older son in the parable, verse 28, he became angry and he refused to celebrate. Jonah knew God was gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity, but he didn't want to be shared that with the people of Nineveh. I take it Jonah believed that that was only true for him and God's people. It was an exclusive right that he had to have God's favour and forgiveness and not God's enemies. Believing God got it wrong and maybe thinking he was doing God a favour, he justified his disobedience by admitting, "That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. Can't you see that, God?" Jonah's saying to him in his prayer. The oldest son was angry too. He said, "All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitute, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?" Like Jonah, the older brother believed what his father had done was wrong. Look at what he had done. You can almost hear what the older son's saying. Look what he's done. Look what he's done compared. "You made me like a slave to you. I've never disobeyed your orders, yet you never let me have something of yours to celebrate just with my friends. But when this son of yours," not my brother, he says, "can't you see, has squandered your property with prostitutes, has this audacity now to come home, you celebrate as if it's the most important event ever to celebrate, as if he'd never done it. Can you hear it in those words, that sort of timing? What about Jonah? Jonah sulked like a two-year-old. He prayed that he was dead. Better to be dead than to share. He left Nineveh and he waited outside the city, hoping God would come to his senses, change his mind, bring calamity, and agree with Jonah. The older son, too, stays outside and refuses to go in and celebrate. Surely we don't behave in the same way. Listen to how God responded to both. God with Jonah and the father with his two sons. Whilst sulking, God provided for Jonah the gift of a leafy vine. Literally, a leafy plant. Literally, it's a vine that's mentioned there. A vine that provided shelter and shade for him from the scorching heat while he watched. Jonah is very happy and he appreciated the vine. But then the vine is taken away and Jonah realizes how good he had it under the vine. It's better to be dead, he prayed, than to not have this vine over me. Better to be dead than to not be under the vine. It's interesting, isn't it, that the image of the vine is often used in the Old Testament to describe the provision and the protection of the covenant relationship of God with his people. An image and relationship Jesus himself used to describe himself. The same in John 15. Remember? I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In the parable, the father went out to meet the older brother. The father takes the initiative to come down to his son. He pleaded with the older brother. He reminded him of how good he had it being in the family. He was not hardly done by. All his father had was his. He reminded him that, yes, he is his son, but so is this younger son, his brother, this brother of yours. And he reminds him to realize that what his brother had lost, not under the protection and provision of the family, he has now gained by being reconciled. He was dead, but now is alive. He was lost, and now is found. And it's interesting that in Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus says of himself, that is why he has come. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Unlike Jonah, Jesus was no reluctant messenger of God. He came to seek and to save the lost. In response to God's gift of mercy and compassion to us and to another, there is a final question, a question God raised in the Jonah story and implied in the parable. It's the question we ought to let be asked of ourselves. Do you have a right to be angry? Do I have a right to be angry with God that he shares his salvation with others, even those who don't deserve it? Do we have a right to not want to share his gift of receiving and owning God's favour and forgiveness with another? Do we have a right to be angry with God that he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity? Do we have a right to be angry with God that he gave us his mercy and compassion, one equally undeserving as the other? Our answer, of course, is no. We do not have a right at all. Rather, we realize we have a responsibility and a wonderful, wonderful privilege to think on how much we have being in relationship with God, being reconciled with God, knowing that we are in Christ and with Christ. We are in and under the provision and protection of the vine. And how wonderful it is, and how terrible, terrible it would be without that. And we ought to have the wonderful joy of celebrating that when others join us and share in this same ownership of what we share that God has given to us. It's a wonderful privilege as Christians to celebrate sharing God's salvation. And with each other, and with all that God brings into relationship with and in Christ, it's good to be under the provision and protection of our wonderful God that we have. And I end this little sermon series with, what a good God God is, isn't he? What a good God, your God, our God, the only God, is to you and to me. And Father, we celebrate. And we are willing to share this with others. Amen. Well, I invite you to pray a prayer with me. It acknowledges that we are his children. We are his daughters and sons. And it's a wonderful privilege to be part of that family, reconciled. But we so often fail to celebrate that and to give thanks. And so I invite you to stand again with me, and we'll say this prayer today together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed once and for all to bear the sins of many. God therefore forgives those who look to his Son for mercy. Amen. Please be seated. I've invited a very special guest to sing to you today. Even though he may invite you to sing along with him, I'm sorry, you can lip sync, all right, which is mime it like this along the way, all right? So without further ado, I introduce Colin Buchanan to you.
Well, hello, I'm Colin Buchanan, and I'm in lockdown 2020. And I've been singing some songs, sending out a few songs for children during this time. But a friend of mine, Peter from Wagga Wagga, said, I wonder, Colin, would you mind recording some hymns for particularly our elderly people who are, under normal circumstances, find it difficult to get to church, but under these circumstances, particularly missing gathered voices singing together, and especially missing some of those great old hymns. So let me read a passage of scripture, and we're going to sing a beauty. This hymn is one of the big favourites. Okay, so this is from Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. The numbers are so small. All right. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God has done great things in his creation, in the way he cares for his creation, sustains us, provides us with all we need. But the greatest of all is that act of reconciliation. At just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So to God be the glory. Great things he has done. And look, this is one to sing together, all right? This is not Colin singing it for you. We're singing it together, all right? Glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. The Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Da 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 da. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. To every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Da 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 da. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord,
Yes, let us pray for God's world, his church, the community, and the spread of the gospel. I'll open with the COVID-19 prayer. Sovereign Lord, you know all things, and through all circumstances of life, you accompany your people. Prosper the work of those who are seeking a vaccine for the coronavirus. Protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick. Comfort the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones, or who are living in fear of this disease. Give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis, and grant to your people patience, compliance, and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Loving Father, we ask for comfort for those elderly who have found themselves doubly isolated in these pandemic times. Adjusting to ageing is hard enough, but add the isolation of local lockdowns within their facilities, and it is hard to fully comprehend the loneliness they must be feeling under these circumstances. Please send your spirit into their lives by whatever means are possible to encourage and support these vulnerable people. God of the nations, whose sovereign rule brings justice and peace, have mercy on our broken and divided world. Establish your peace in the hearts of all, and banish from them the spirit that makes for war, that all races and peoples may learn to live as members of one family and in obedience to your laws. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Loving God, you have made all people in your image, and you care for the poor and distressed. Make us a just society where the rights of all are acknowledged and upheld, where those who are oppressed are made free, and where corruption has no place. Give companies and social institutions and governments the desire to act for the good of all, rather than for the advantage of a few. Empower Christians to model the values of your kingdom in all their relationships. Hasten the day when Jesus will return to establish justice and your eternal reign for the glory of your name. Creator God, you made from one man all nations and determined where each should live. We bring before you the Indigenous people of Australia. We acknowledge the history that has damaged the relationship between them and later arrivals to this land. Thank you for the steps that have been taken on the journey towards reconciliation. Deepen this process among us. Guide national and community leaders to speak the truth in love, to seek justice with mercy, and to care for those who are disadvantaged. Strengthen Indigenous church leaders to shepherd your flock faithfully, and strengthen all Indigenous Christians to be salt and light in their communities and in the whole nation. Give Indigenous and non-Indigenous believers grace to demonstrate the new family you are making in Christ out of people from every nation, tribe, language, and people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God of the nations, we pray for Australia. Inspire and direct our leaders to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Bring many Australians to a knowledge of the truth about Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, shared at Nazareth the life of an earthly home, bless our homes, we pray. Help parents to impart the knowledge of you and your love, and children to respond with love and obedience. May our homes be blessed with peace and joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We praise you, great God, as the source of all truth, and we come before you knowing that to fear you is the beginning of wisdom. Strengthen us to love you with all our mind, as well as with our heart and strength. We pray that in our schools, colleges, universities, and other places of learning, truth and wisdom may be pursued, prized, and celebrated. Give teachers creativity, clarity, and care, patience, and to give students a love of learning and an openness to new ideas. Bless us all with cooperation, fairness, and above all, a recognition that the world we study is created, sustained, and redeemed by you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who serve us in the defence and police forces, the fire brigades and ambulance services. Give them courage and protection when they face loneliness, misunderstanding and danger, especially in their roles at our border crossings. Help us to be grateful for what they do and to support them with respect and honour. Eternal God, shepherd of your people, we feel the fleeting passage of life and know how fragile our existence is on this tiny planet. We confess with the prophet Isaiah, all flesh is grass, and all its glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Yet we also confess the word of our God stands forever. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In our human frailty, we look to you as frightened children look to their mother, for you alone can comfort and sustain us. Have mercy on us, O God. Hear our cries to you, our loving Father, and lead us all as pilgrims through the darkest valley into the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We ask that you'll continue to support those who work in missionary fields through prayers and financial support from fellow believers and the preparations by your Holy Spirit in all their endeavours. We especially seek blessings for our Link missionaries, SRE teachers and chaplains as they spread the good news of Jesus. We bring before you those from our church family who are currently in need of your protection. We ask you, Lord, to quickly restore Lynn Clark to full health following her surgeries. Keep Jean Steele safe and well in Newmarch House and bring healing from an infection to Kay Woodcock. And Lord, as we learnt this morning in our Luke reading, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. We thank you, dear Lord, that we have that faith in you, that we are yours and we are protected and saved by you. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Please join with me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
I draw your attention now to the notices in our bulletin, and I'm just going to go through them again, just for those who are listening in and for us who may not have read them yet at the moment. Kids Church started back again today, and so we welcome our families that have come along, and that's been up in the hall, and Karen and Emily are running that with Anthony, and that started back this Sunday. Parish Council is going to be meeting immediately after our church service this morning up the back. And next Sunday, a new sermon series begins, and we're going for quite a while through the book of Romans. And we're thinking about, again, more and more of the celebration that we ought to have of being right with God and knowing how that is doctrinally and based in the scriptures and what Christ has done for us. And that starts next week. And you're welcome to join with me in the evening from 5 to 6 here up the back of the church, Lord willing, as much as we can still meet together, and have a Bible study on the passage that was preached on in the morning. You would receive the Bible passages for Bible studies as normal, as we've been doing up till now, but you can have a chance to come and meet with us and have fellowship together of a night time from 5 through to 6. Next Sunday, we farewell Audrey. Audrey, it's sad that we're going, but we're happy for Audrey as well too. She's moving. We're going to get her to tell us more about that next week. But next Sunday will be her last Sunday, Lord willing, most likely with us. We hope she keeps coming back. But that might not be possible all the time. But we'll farewell our dear lady next Sunday together. So if you can spread that word around, because I'm sure people, we will remind everyone, but if you would like to come on that Sunday and feel comfortable to do so, please do so for able to say a farewell and a prayer for Audrey. Also, not this Monday, but the following Monday is our next parish prayer evening. Many are the plans of a person's heart, a church's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that always prevail. And so it's wise to come to him and ask for his clarity of thought and to pray for his work in this place and beyond. So I invite you to join me either at home or here on Monday, not this Monday, but the following Monday evening from 7 through to 8 o'clock here in the church. We celebrate marriage, and Michael and Terry are here, but on the 8th of August, we have a wedding here, all right? Michael and Terry's daughter, Grace, is being married to an Ariel. He's a lovely fellow. I've met him. I've gone through the preparations for marriage with them, and that's on the 8th of August. So we celebrate with you both, and with Grace and Audrey, Ariel as well. There's again, if you've got Chris and David have said, look, they've got stacks of agapanthus and clivias to give away. I know what those plants are. Rosemary knows what those plants are. All right, and they breed like nothing. All right, but if you'd like some, Chris and David would love to take them off their hands. Their phone number is in the bulletin. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Yes, I wish we could sing again, but we can't. All right. So I hand back over to Fiona just to conclude our service together this morning. Oh, Diane, you had another announcement to make, did you? Oh, right, okay, sorry.
As we heard in the sermon, we are very privileged to be part of a covenant relationship with our Maker, a God who does not break his promises. So we finish with these words. Gracious God, you made an eternal covenant with us through the blood of your Son and brought him back from the dead as the great shepherd of your sheep. Equip us with everything good for doing your will. Work in us what is pleasing to you through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. Please stay and mingle seated, chatting and talking to one another. Or if you need to leave, leave now. The Lord be with you.